This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Hello, Jan. How are you doing?
I'm well. How are you?
Good, thank you. However, I'm a little bit disturbed because it seems as though some unethical call centers are hupping our credit card details.
Yeah, so this story is interesting. It's not, it doesn't look like it's institutional inside the call center. This was a press release put out by the Hawks, earlier in the day, or might have been yesterday, where, they warned, or rather they said that they had taken into custody, two call center agents who had allegedly, obviously they have to be careful with their wording, sold, credit card details. And so they've been charged with fraud. And they were 23 and 29 years old. They were employed at call center agents for a reputable financial services credit provider in Goodwood, without naming the company directly. And it's alleged that they supplied cardholder information to a syndicate to supplement their income. So as a result of this, counterfeit cards were manufactured by the syndicate and used for illegal purchases. So the Hawks said that that this has caused a loss of 95,000 rand, using just 8 card holders. So just 8 cloned cards, from 1 March to 9 April, they were able to cause financial damages to the tune of 95,000 rand.
Is there anything that as a consumer you can do to sort of prevent this kind of fraud? Because, you know, you often get asked on a call center to give your card details for reason X or reason Y.
Or to confirm your identity, right? Mm. And no, unfortunately not. A credit card is actually quite a safe thing to have this done to. Humor me for just a second. So what happens with credit cards is banks are generally well insured when it comes to credit cards. If your debit card gets stolen in this way and used in this way, you're in a bit of trouble because they actually use your real money out of your real bank account. A credit card account, because it's effectively the bank's money that's being stolen, they're quite good about establishing the truth of your claim. You know, you say, hey, listen, I didn't authorize this transaction. And then they establish, you know, whether you're trying to lie to them and commit credit card fraud or whether you're telling the truth. Then there's actually a pretty seamless process in place. You destroy the card. You send them proof that you've destroyed the card. They issue you a new card. They give you the money back into your account. And that's the end of it for you. Then, you know, they go on to fight the thing in courts and run sting operations to catch the fraudsters and so on. But you as the consumer at the end of the day, you know, you're sorted out within a question of hours, you know, at most days. If it's your real cash that gets stolen, you know, a debit card, EFT or something like that, then you're in much deeper trouble and it's much harder to get the bank to return your money in that case, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, a bit of a battle coming with the small guy versus the big guy down the Eastern Cape, with, funny enough, Airbnb being on the side of the small guy because local hotels are complaining that they're taking away business.
Right. We spoke about this last week at some length, so I thought it would be great to follow up on this. Mm. Michael Jordan sent out a tweet today. This seems to be the way we run discourse in South Africa at the moment, is high-powered tech CEOs telecommunications company founders at the Minister of Tourism, Derek Harnicom, on Twitter, and tells him what to do. And be that as it may, tremendous amount of respect for Michael Jordan, and he just said, please don't kill small businesses to protect large hotel groups. And I thought it would be great to just sort of dissect this just a little bit, because it's part of the reason I hate Twitter as a method for public discourse, because really the situation is a lot more complex than that. Firstly, Airbnb in itself is a massive multinational, right? The hotel groups complaining about Airbnb's influence on the market, it's not just the big chains, you know, the Marriotts and so on of the world. There are small fry guest houses that are also concerned about the effect of Airbnb on their business. But that said, what's being proposed and what's in the draft of the new Tourism Amendment Bill is to heavily skew the legislation in favor of sort of standard, you know, normal guest houses and hotel groups and stuff, and put pretty strict limits on Airbnbs. And things that operate like Airbnbs, like if you have short, quote unquote, short term rentals of rooms in your house or extra properties or extra, you know, premises on your property, you know, and so if those are short term rentals, you'll be governed by these new regulations. And that's also not right. So, the situation or the discussion, I think, needs to be a little bit more nuanced. Then, you know, this is the, you know, the small upstarts against the big multinationals. Because the fact is Airbnb is a multinational making fat money, off of people listing their properties on their site, and more power to them. They've provided a fantastic service. And that's the reason people use them rather than the locally homegrown ones, which offered very similar services. But I think it's important just to kind of step back and look at exactly what's happening and have the proper discussion rather than, you know, in the case of AI, hand waving about, Terminators coming for us one day, and completely missing the point of the discussion, you know, to focus on what's important here. And that's that, you know, perhaps, the hospitality groups have a point, but perhaps Airbnb also has a point. And, you know, what needs to be established here is a fair set of regulations that make sure that Airbnb pays its fair share of tax, that its users pay their fair share of tax, and, everybody's able to do business on a level playing field.
Yeah. And preferably that less government telling us what to do, as well.
Yes. But certainly where government tells us what to do. So that's part of what the hotel groups are balking at, is that they fall under certain regulations. And this isn't new. We've seen this happening with WhatsApp. We've seen this happening across all kinds of disrupted industries, broadcasting, DSTV and Netflix, where they are subject to heavy regulation, but their competitors are not. And then they balk at that and they try to get the regulations changed. So the point here is that, you know, in the case of Netflix, there's no real indication that Netflix is going to be overregulated, but certainly the indications here are that the tourism department wants to heavily overregulate things like Airbnbs, and there's a big debate that needs to happen around that.
Now, one last thing which I found quite interesting is that you guys decided to check which political parties were hosting their websites locally and internationally. Now, that for me was quite interesting. But what was more interesting is the comment that you got out of it, because both the EFF and the ANC said that they do theirs locally. The DA said that they host internationally, and then went on to say that it's because they're basically concerned about hacking and data theft.
Yes. So the comment didn't make a whole lot of sense, unfortunately. But what the DA also did say is that they do business with a great many South African technology partners. You know, they said that they work with large pool of talented freelance software developers. So they kind of, you know, they knew where the commentary on the story was going when we discovered that they were hosting with Hetzner in Germany rather than Hetzner in South Africa. And by the way, when you sign up with Hetzner, the option to choose whether to host in Germany or South Africa is a very simple one to make. You can just do it right from the default portal. You don't actually have to actively, you know, go out of your way to host in Germany. You can just say, oh, yeah, please put it in Germany. And then your fees are actually cheaper than hosting locally, you know, probably because of bandwidth costs and so on. So the DA went out of their way to kind of explain that they do use South African freelancers and South African businesses, for their technology stack. You know, just because they're hosting in Germany doesn't mean that they, that they use only foreign talent for their IT needs.
Certainly very interesting, Jan Vermeulen. Thank you so much. We'll chat to you again next week.
Yes. One last comment. I believe the DA said, the last comment they said was that, you know, basically Germany has stricter data protection regulations than South Africa.
Yes.
And while that might be true right now, the fact is that our laws, POPIA and so on, and certainly I don't think it's fair to Hetzner in South Africa, to make a comment like that, because our laws are harmonized with, the GDPR in Europe. So, to say that Europe has necessarily stricter data protection regulations than South Africa, that's not fair comment on the DA's part.
Interesting. Well, Jan Vermeulen, thank you so much. We'll chat to you again. Now time for the traffic with Sasha Stock.